Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another good day that He's made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, and to give us the truth of this your word, Heavenly Father, so that we cannot be deceived into believing the wrong things, Heavenly Father, but always the right of your word, keeping us standing upright, Father, with our trust and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in your word, Father. Now we ask for the Holy Spirit to come forward now to give us that guidance to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be dealing with chapter 19 here in Deuteronomy this morning. And then this evening we'll be back into Deuteronomy, and then we're going to be giving it a rest for a few days as we get into the New Testament. And right now we're at the third chapter of Ephesians there as we go through the Bible. All right. Beginning here with verse 1. Just when the Lord thy God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwelleth in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. He's telling them here now to separate these three cities. They're to be refuge cities. And he's telling us why also here, why they're needed. Now here in chapter 3, or verse 3, not chapter 3, part, verse 3, because thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. Those that they kill by accident. And he goes on to explain this. He explains it even a lot better than I can as we read. Here in 4, pardon me. And this is the case of the slayer which shall flee thither, that he may live. Whosoever killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hateth not in times past. Now, like I said, he goes on to explain that as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the heel and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die, he shall flee into one of those cities and live. In other words, they were working together, and the head come off the handle of his axe, and it killed his neighbor. That was accidentally. But so that someone in that man's family just couldn't get mad because it happened and want to kill this man, he had a place to go where he could live and be safe. Now, 6. He explains this. Lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot and overtake him because the way is long and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in times past. In other words, he didn't have anything against the man. It was strictly an accident. So he is to live. He needs to have a city of refuge to go to. 7. Wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate 3 cities for thee. And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast as he has sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, that thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add 3 cities more for thee besides these 3. They're going on needing a lot of refuge places. 10. He said, for these, besides these 3, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. Now, we know man is not to murder, and what the penalty of that is, but this is accidental deaths and things, and they happen. And a lot of times, those of that one's family get upset, and they want, and they do, they want to kill the one that was there, part of it. Now, 11. But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and raise up against him and smite him mortally that he die and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of this city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. In other words, one that did actually commit murder, when he goes to that city, oh, there ain't no safe place for him, because they're going to get him out of there and get him, turn him back over to the one looking for him. 13. Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old times had set in thy inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. So we know there was a time when they used rocks as their boundary markers for their land, and they would even put up piles of stone as markers. But then there was also a lot that would come along and remove those, and move the boundaries so that they could defraud them out of their land. But God was telling them what to do here to keep everything straight. Now, 15. One witnesses shall not raise up against a man for an iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. One witness would not get the work done against a man. It took two or three. If a false witness raised up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition and behold if the witnesses be a false witness and has testified falsely against his brother, and turn two pages. Now, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother, so shall thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thy eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for a hand, and a foot for a foot. And we have come to the end now of chapter 19 here in Deuteronomy. Gotta wipe my eyes. Sorry. We're going to go on into chapter 20 here. And we're going to be dealing with the one thing, we're going to be dealing with laws concerning war. When thou goest out to battle against thy enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He letting them know, don't be afraid, because I'm with you. And we know that the Lord is the one that does the fighting for them. Verse 2, and it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. 3, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemy. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. 4, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. He's letting them know, I'll always be going with you, fighting with you to save you. 5. And the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that has built a new house and has not dedicated it, let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dictate it. And what man is he that has planted a vineyard and has not yet eaten of it, let him also go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that has betrothed a wife and has not taken her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people. And they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brother's heart faint as well as his heart. And it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. After they've gotten all these out and sent back home, then he's telling them what to do to put the army together. They're going to make captains now of the armies to lead the people. 10, when thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it, and it shall be, if it make the answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. In other words, they're not to kill them, they're to let them work as servants. And if we will make peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. In other words, if they're not going to make peace with them, then they are to take the city. 13. And when the Lord thy God has delivered it into thy hand, thou shalt smite every male thereof, with the edge of the sword. Every man is to be killed if they have to take the city. Now, if the city will come peacefully, then they are to let them work and serve. But if they had to take the city, then they are to kill every male. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shall thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thy enemies, which the Lord thy God has given thee. Thou shalt do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. Thou shalt save alive nothing that breathe, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Those, they are all to be destroyed. Now, 18. And the reason for that is because all of those were idol worshippers and they worshiped other gods, not the Lord God. Here in 18, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. That's why they are to be destroyed, is so that they don't pick up and fall away from the Lord God and go after the things of these people, because they were all idol worshipers and against the Lord God. 19. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for me, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued. You see, God is telling them everything to do in order for them to be able to do what he is sending them to do. And he's given them a land. And he's telling them how to take over, how to set up, how he wants it. Now, I guess we're going in here to chapter 21. We may not get through it. It's got quite a few verses, 23 verses, but we'll see. All right. And in this, we're going to be dealing with settlement for an unknown murderous crime in various laws along with it. So here in verse 1, if one be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known who has slain him, thy elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain, and it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take a heifer which has not been wrought with and which has not drawn in the yoke, and the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer unto a rough valley which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priest and the son of Levi shall come near, for them the Lord thy God has chosen to minister unto him and to bless in the name of the Lord, and by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. You see, just because they found one lying in the field dead, the city closest to that, you know, has to take a heifer and go and make a sacrifice for what had happened. Now, here's verse 6. And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto the people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So shall thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Even though they didn't slay, they are still to make sacrifice for that crime. Now, hand here, we begin dealing with the various laws. Verse 10, when thou goest forth to war against thy enemies, and the Lord thy God has delivered them into thy hands, and thou hast taken them captive, seeth among the captives a beautiful woman, and has a desire unto her, that thou wouldst have her to thy wife, then thou shalt bring her home to thy house, and she shall shave her head, and pare her nails. She shall put the raiment of her captivity from off of her, and shall remain in thy house and bewail her father and her mother a full month. And after that, thou shalt go in unto her and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. Funny sort of marriage, isn't it? But that's the way it was then. And that was according to the Lord God. Now, 14. And it shall be, if thou have no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go, whether she will. But thou shalt not sell her at all for money. Thou shalt not make merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he has, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Two wives, one loved, one hated. But if the one hated had the first son, then he was to get the double portion, and it was not to be given to the other one that was loved, because he was still the firstborn of that man. Now, 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. In other words, he's not obeying them at all, punished him even for it, and he's still not obeying them. Here 19 says, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elder of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he died. It didn't pay back then not to obey your parents. And be rebellious. As we can see here. Now, so shall thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. 22. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. You really pay attention to what that verse is saying? His body shall not remain all night upon the tree. Now they hanged him on a tree and crucified him. But he's not to remain there through the night. But thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. You know, he could be actually buried hardly alive. Now, come to the end of chapter 22, and we're going to stop there. Chapter 21, rather, and we're going to stop there. And God willing, we're going to be picking up with 22 and it's got some things in it that is carrying forth until today even, and we're going to find and see that just millions and millions are going against some of the word that's in chapter 22. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the times that we can come together to share your word, to be able to study it, Father, so that we can grow thereby spiritually, grow stronger in faith, so that we, Father, can go forth and do the work that you would want each of us to do, whatever that work is. Because we know, Father, that the Holy Spirit has brought into us tools we need in order to go forth as you would send us. Because we know, Father, that he goes with us. He is our comforter. He is our guide. He is our strength. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we are so thankful that Jesus loved us enough to take on all the pain he took on, and even death itself, so that we could have a better life here on earth, but also that we can have eternal life in heaven, to be with you, Father, for all eternity. Father, we do love you. We love the Lord Jesus. We love the Holy Spirit. Be with us now, Father, throughout this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And help us in all the ways in which we go today. And may someone come along, Father, that we will have a chance to talk to and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with, and see another one maybe turn from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Father, our families, we pray for our families. We pray that the Holy Spirit can work within our families and see that none be lost. They have come from darkness being Jesus. We pray for our land, Father, this land that turned its back against you, against the Lord Jesus, against the church, against your people. No excuse. The land that you have blessed so greatly, we ask for help come together to bring thy power into being, to bring this land to repentance so it can be healed, Father, and put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, keep us all through this day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless all. Have a great, great day. I see we've got a new caller on here today. And caller,
hi.
Would you like to identify yourself?
Hi, my name's George.
George, glad to have you on with us.
Could I please get a prayer?
Could you get a prayer?
Yeah.
Do you have a special need?
Well, I want you to pray for my friend Bill Chapman.
Bill Chapman?
Yeah.
Okay. I surely will.
And what's that?
I said I surely will.
Well, can I ask you, it's a kind of a specific prayer. Would you be able to do a specific type of prayer?
Well, we'll see.
I'm not real friendly with Bill, so I was hoping you could pray that a bird would snatch his toupee and then the world would laugh at him. Could you pray for that?
No, that I won't do.
How come?
But I will pray. I will pray that things will change there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, you've heard this request, and we are asking now, Father, in Jesus' name, for things to change between these two. We don't know what has caused the problem, but Father, we do know that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit can remove all things and can use all things for good. Now, Father, work with these two men and make it so, Father, that things will change greatly and that both not only love each other but love all of mankind, but mainly that they love you first in their lives, Father, and that they both will walk upon the pathway of righteousness and make heaven their home. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Amen. Amen. And thank you for that.
It's good to have you on here. We'll be back in again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into the Old Testament. Tomorrow, we'll be getting back in for the rest of the week. You see, I have two services every day. I'm on at 10 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Time, 6 o'clock in the evening, Eastern Time, every day. Monday through Wednesday, we're in the Old Testament. And then Thursday through Sunday, we're in the New Testament. We're going completely through the Bible. We've already been through.
Am I still on, by the way? Am I? Hello?
What's that, sir? Yeah.
Could you at least just pray that Bill Shatner gets diarrhea?
No, I'm praying things will change there.
Change how?
For the good. For both of you.
Oh, could you pray that Jeff Bezos sends Bill on a one-way rocket to the sun?
Do what now?
Could you pray that Jeff Bezos sends Bill on a one-way rocket to the sun?
Let's just keep everything for the Lord Jesus Christ, for Almighty God, and for the good. But it's good to have you.
Do you know who Bill Shatner is? Do you ever watch Star Trek?
I'm not that familiar with him.
You never even watch Star Trek, huh?
No.
Oh, so you don't know Bill and you don't know George Takei?
No, I don't know him.
Oh, yeah, they don't get along very good.
Well, we're praying that things will change.
Change how?
It's good to have you. I hope to see you back in again, but I've got to get out of here. My time is up.
Real quick, would you want them to become such good friends that they kind of be in love?
I just want them to love each other and to love the Lord God.
Oh.
All right. I've got to go. Bye-bye now.